Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Next China is Still China by Zhou Ngai and Nick Long is a business strategy book about how companies should understand and operate in China during a more difficult economic and geopolitical period. Written by senior McKinsey leaders with long experience advising Chinese and multinational firms, the book argues that China has not ceased to matter as a growth market, innovation base, or competitive arena. Its central purpose is to replace outdated assumptions about easy expansion with a more selective and disciplined playbook. The authors address concerns such as slower macroeconomic growth, demographic aging, nationalism, regulatory uncertainty, geopolitical tension, and the rise of artificial intelligence and automation. At the same time, they emphasize enduring strengths, including a large STEM talent pool, fast product iteration, advanced manufacturing depth, and digital adoption. The book is best understood as a pragmatic guide for executives, investors, and entrepreneurs who need a current, nuanced view of China rather than a simple case for retreat or optimism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, China remains central, but the era of easy growth is over. A core argument of the book is that China is still too large, capable, and commercially dynamic to be treated as a fading market. Yet it no longer rewards the strategies that worked during earlier decades of rapid expansion. In the past, many firms benefited from broad market growth, urbanization, rising household income, and a relatively straightforward logic of scaling distribution. Ngai and Long present the new period as more demanding. Growth is slower, consumers are more selective, domestic competitors are stronger, and policy signals matter more. This changes the managerial question from whether China is attractive in a general sense to where and how a firm can still create defensible value. The reasoning is important because it separates market size from market accessibility. A large economy can remain full of opportunity while becoming less forgiving of weak localization, slow decision-making, or imported business models. The book, therefore, reframes China's strategy as a discipline of sharper choices, operational resilience, and deeper knowledge of local demand rather than a simple expansion thesis. Secondly, the new playbook requires localized strategy rather than copied global models. The authors emphasize that multinational companies can no longer assume that a successful global formula will automatically transfer into China. Earlier approaches often relied on bringing established brands, technology, management systems, or premium positioning into a market with strong catch-up demand. The current environment requires more granular adaptation because Chinese competitors are faster, consumers are more digitally informed, and regulatory expectations can shift the boundaries of acceptable business practice. The playbook implied by the book is not merely about local marketing. It involves local product development, supply chain decisions, partnerships, data capabilities, talent models, and governance structures. This reasoning reflects a broader competitive reality. A company that treats China as a sales territory may be outpaced by rivals that treat it as an innovation and operating hub. The book also suggests that commitment must be paired with risk awareness. Firms need to decide which activities should be deeply embedded in China, which should be diversified, and which require special controls because of geopolitics, data sensitivity, or supply chain exposure. Thirdly, technological competition is shaped by scale, talent, and rapid adoption. A major theme is that China retains significant advantages in technology-driven competition because of its engineering talent base, manufacturing ecosystem, and speed of commercialization. The book points to the large annual supply of STEM graduates and links this human capital to fields such as artificial intelligence, automation, robotics, data-powered services, and advanced manufacturing. The argument is not that China will lead in every technology category, but that its innovation system can adapt quickly when markets, suppliers, engineers, and production facilities are closely connected. This matters because many business discussions reduce innovation to original invention, while the authors highlight commercialization and iteration as equally decisive. China has shown particular strength in turning technologies into mass-market applications, supported by dense supplier networks and consumer willingness to adopt digital services. The book also treats technology as a strategic pressure on companies operating in China. Firms must judge whether China is only a market for their products or also a place where competitors will develop lower cost, faster moving, or more locally relevant alternatives. Fourthly, geopolitics and nationalism make China's strategy a risk management problem. Ngai and Long place China's strategy within a world of heightened geopolitical tension. Rising nationalism, and more complex expectations from governments, consumers, and stakeholders. This is a significant shift from older business books that treated market entry, distribution, and consumer demand as the main obstacles. Today, firms must consider sanctions, exposure, technology controls, public sentiment, supply chain scrutiny, data rules, and the possibility that actions acceptable in one jurisdiction may create backlash in another. The book does not reduce this complexity to a recommendation to leave China. Instead, it suggests that strategic presence and risk management must be designed together. This is useful because many executives face a false choice between doubling down and exiting. A more realistic approach includes scenario planning, diversified supply chains, stronger compliance systems, careful stakeholder mapping, and clear decisions about what capabilities belong inside or outside China. The authors position geopolitics as a permanent feature of the operating environment, not a temporary disruption that can be ignored until conditions normalize. Lastly, demographic change and consumer maturity alter the sources of opportunity. The book treats demographic aging and consumer maturity as structural forces that change where growth will come from. China is no longer defined only by a young, rapidly urbanizing population entering mass consumption for the first time. A more mature market includes older consumers, smaller households, regional differences, and customers who compare quality, value, convenience, and brand trust with increasing sophistication. This has direct implications for sectors such as healthcare, financial services, automation, elder care, productivity technology, premium goods, and practical everyday services. The reasoning is that slower aggregate growth does not eliminate opportunity. It relocates it toward companies that understand changing needs. For example, aging can reduce labor force growth while increasing demand for automation and health-related services. Consumer caution can weaken some discretionary categories while rewarding firms that deliver reliability and clear value. The book encourages readers to look beyond headline growth rates and examine the composition of demand. That approach makes China less of a monolithic market story and more of a portfolio of shifting sector-specific opportunities. In conclusion, The Next China is Still China is most useful for executives, investors, entrepreneurs, policy-aware strategists, and students of global business who need a practical framework for thinking about China after the peak era of easy expansion. Its benefit is not a single prediction about the Chinese economy, but a disciplined way to assess competing realities at the same time slower growth and large opportunities, geopolitical risk and commercial necessity, domestic competition and innovation capacity. Readers can use it to question whether their China assumptions are outdated, whether their operating model is sufficiently local, and whether their risk controls match the current environment. Compared with many books on China that lean mainly toward macroeconomic warning, political analysis, or broad optimism about market size, this book stands out for its executive orientation and its focus on business adaptation. The authors write from the perspective of advisors who have worked closely with major Chinese and multinational organizations, which gives the book a practical emphasis on decisions rather than ideology. It is especially valuable for readers who do not want a simplified yes or no answer on China. Its distinct contribution is showing why China can remain strategically indispensable while requiring a fundamentally different playbook from the one that worked in the previous growth cycle. If you would like to support Zhongai, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.